I started working at, well, the first prison I worked in was extremely weird. There was a part of it that was a county federal jail, and then a larger section that was a prison. It was a total of 800 beds, and it held high-risk federal detainees, and then high-level state inmates. I'm not sure if you're aware, but there is a stark difference between what a jail and a prison is. A jail is a facility that holds people prior to sentencing, so while they're waiting and preparing for trial. And then once you're sentenced, if you have, at least in New Mexico, if you have less than 18 months to serve, you can do that in jail. But if you have more than 18 months to serve on your guilty finding, then you go to prison. So prisons, of course, then are post-sentenced people who have more than 18 months to serve. That tends to be the standard in most states, though there are a few that will do the cutoff at 2 years. So if you have less than 2 years, you can do it in a jail. But anything more than 2 years is prison. But that is relatively unusual. It's usually an 18-month mark post-sentencing that you can serve in jail. So there is a very distinct difference between jails and prisons, because jails can have innocent people in them. They tend to be better behaved because, you know, they're coming up for trial. They don't want to look like assholes. Where prisons are already sentenced, they're going to serve their sentence. And some of them, of course, are sentenced for their entire life and will never get out. So, you know, beyond going to segregation or to a higher level prison, they really don't have that much to lose. So that's the difference between prisons and jails. So Estancia was extremely odd. So one part of the facility held federal and county detainees prior to going to court and being sentenced. And then the other part, the larger part, was a prison, which when I first started held state medium to medium high state inmates from New Mexico. We were so lucky to have inmates who were, not primarily, but a large section of the Sindicato de Nuevo Mexico, or the SNM, which is going down in popularity in New Mexico, but is going up in California. They are an extremely violent, extremely dangerous gang, and they're extremely powerful. But we have done a number of things in New Mexico to, bring their numbers down to some extent by throwing them out of our state to other states, primarily California, and I'm sure they're very glad for that. Though they send us their crappy inmates that they don't want either. So we get their white boys and we send them our S&M. So it is what it is. I'm not sure what you want to know. I mean, there are millions of stories, and there are good ones, bad ones, terrifying ones. Maybe I should just tell you what a prison is like. Let's just start with Estancia. It was not initially built to house the secure level of inmates that it ended up housing. So this is not the most efficiently built prison. The second one I worked in, here in Hobbs, it's much better designed, and is much more, oh, I don't know, safety conscious, whatever. Anyway, so let's say you drive up, boom. So you go through one sliding fence gate into a sally port, which is just a dead zone between two gates. And then you go through another one, and sally ports are everywhere in a prison. The object, of course, is to keep inmates segregated so that if something goes wrong, if you shut all the gates and doors, that it contains inmates in areas. That does help. It isn't perfect, but it is what it is. So you go through that sally port, and then you would see a officer who would check you in, make sure that you are on the visiting list, or if you're working there, obviously it's just, hey, how you doing? You have to go through a metal detector to make sure that you're not bringing in anything. Estancia did not have a drug detecting machine, although the one here in Hobbs did or does, though it's not as accurate as can be. So, of course, a lot of drugs come in through visitation. In New Mexico, if you're a medium security or lower, you're allowed to have one-on-one visitations with your family members, friends, whatever, as long as they're on your approved list, without anything between you. So, you're just sitting there. You can hug and hold hands and do anything like that. Of course, that allows a huge number of drugs to be passed. Fun. So once you go through the officer who checks you in, let's say you're an employee, you would go through another sally port. These sally ports inside are not fencing, but are thick metal. Well, they're just big slabs of metal that slide on a slider. And it has a small bulletproof, shatterproof glass so you can look through it. And you go through there, and they leave you in a small area. Not too small. I mean, you could probably get 15, 20 people in there without any trouble. That's where the time clock was, and also the door to the visitation room. And then you go through another slider, which again is a big freaking sheet of huge metal and a small window that is bulletproof and shatterproof. And then you'd be in the prison main hallway. I'm not sure if you're aware, but officers in prisons do not carry weapons. The most serious weapon, usually, that is carried by higher-ranking correctional officers, which are called COs. They're not called guards. I don't care what they write in TV or anything. They're not called guards. They're correctional officers. They're officers. You go through a lot of training to become an officer. But it's pepper spray. And people use, and that is really the only weapon you have, and the average officer does not carry it. Only sergeants and higher in Estancia would carry pepper spray. So as I got promoted, of course, I got pepper spray. And but I never used it. It just, you know, for me, it was always easier to talk an inmate down than to just fucking hurt him and then make a situation that's bad escalated into something completely horrid. And of course, the other thing is that everybody on staff, unless you were, you know, somebody that needed to be escorted into a unit or something, but like all officers, wardens, things of that nature, you know, security level things, carry radios that, you know, broadcast to Central Control. And of course, Central Control keeps an eye on the cameras, opens and closes all the sliders and gates. It's the control board for almost everything, except for the units. So traffic, if you need to move inmates from one place to another, you would inform Central Control. They would clear the corridor, especially if you were moving handcuffed inmates, because if they get assaulted, you get in trouble. So handcuffed inmates, you'd have to clear the corridor so you could move them safely. Inmates in protective custody, you would have to clear the corridor and get everybody, all the other inmates out of the corridor so that you can move them safely so they don't get their ass beat. Central Control, that's their job, is to keep an eye on shit. At Estancia, I'll tell you about Hobbs later, that it ran entirely differently. Some ways better, some ways worse. And then, so if you went to the detention side, the pre-sentencing side, it was federal inmates and county detainees, which for some reason that I never did understand were allowed to commingle. Maybe because they were all pre-sentencing. However, Estancia, because we had a fairly large mental health staff, and we were also a semi-prison, we had all of the absolutely crazy and the extremely dangerous from New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, any place that the federal, the FBI or the marshals or something thought that they were too dangerous to stay in smaller county jails. So we would get all the bad motherfuckers. And the craziest, and some of them were so absolutely crazy that they couldn't fix them, and then they'd have to be sent to Springfield, Illinois, to the federal loony bin to see if they could clean them up. Boy, I have some really cool stories about crazy people, if you want to hear them. I don't know what you really want to know. So anyway, you would go down there, and there is a, for each unit, inmates are separated into units, again, to keep their populations in small little sections so that there aren't so many in one place. So there was a Unit 1 and a Unit 2. Unit 1 was higher security, in the sense that it had cells, and of course the cells were big metal doors with a food port in it that you could open to put food in. However, during the day the cells were open and the inmates were allowed to congregate in the day room, and of course they had recreation, either gym or yard, for exercise. But that was about it, because they were pre sentencing, there aren't a whole lot of guidelines about what you have to provide them besides, you know, food and clothing, you know, and health care and, you know, the essentials. But there was no schooling, there was nothing to really keep them busy or active. So they were always a little bit riled up. And then the other side, Unit 2, was a dormitory section. And each dormitory held about 60 people each. And Unit 2 tended to hold federal detainees that had come across the border illegally and were carrying drugs or just came across and had some kind of warrant out in the United States, but were considered fairly low risk, and that was why they were allowed to live in a dormitory style unit. So that was the federal county, and the county guys usually, but not always, stayed in the dormitory side. You know, we'd only have like 12, 15 county guys and 200 federal detainees. So it was pretty weird. So then there, of course, was a kitchen, and laundry, and a whole bunch of different, you know, necessary things for prisons. There was Unit 3, which was a very tiny segregation unit for the extremely dangerous. I think it had only 8 cells in it. And it was only to hold the federal and county detainees if they were, you know, if they had done something extremely bad. And I do mean, you know, extremely bad. They're either crazy as a loon or extremely violent. In Unit 1, one alpha, one of the units was converted over to a lockdown unit for guys who needed to be separated from the rest of the population because they were too dangerous or they received a write-up and were found guilty of doing whatever the write-up said they did, you know, contraband or a fight or, I don't know, there are millions of kinds of things you can do. I mean, there are laws in a prison just like there are out on the street. And you obey the laws or the COs will write you up. And if you're found guilty, you can oftentimes spend you go to jail in jail. So you end up locked up 23 hours a day. And you're allowed to come out for 1 hour of rec and shower, and then you go back to your cell. And that's your life. And it's exceedingly boring. There's no TV. There's no nothing. You just hope, you know, get some books, hopefully, and exercise and try not to go batshit crazy while you're waiting to get out. And then, so one alpha was kind of like the holding cell for the normal guys who just screwed up, and 3 was for the guys who really screwed up, who shanked somebody, who assaulted an officer, who, you know, whatever, something bad. And then if you turn down the hallway and head down towards the state side, you go through a whole bunch more sliders just, you know, to keep everything separated. And then there was Unit 4, which was the state segregation unit, which, good Lord, housed 30 people, I think. Yeah, something like that. So again, lockdown. That one was more because they were state, there are very strict guidelines on how they're allowed to be treated. There was a TV in the day room so they could watch that. They got recreation during the week out in the pens, which are just made out of fencing. So it just kept the inmates apart from each other so they couldn't hurt each other and get a little sunshine or rain or whatever. And so they were outside and then they'd come back in. And then you'd also get a shower at least 3 times a week, though we did try to provide it more often than that. And then you would move on down to units 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. And each one of those units had 4 pods to it, and each of the pods had 30 cells or 60 guys-ish each. And each unit had a unit control officer who was in charge of opening the doors, the inner doors, and central control was in control, was in charge of opening the outer door to the unit so that in case you lost the unit control, central control could still keep people in the units. So there's a lot of redundancy, a lot of trying to keep people from trying to kill each other. But that was pretty much the prison. Oh, the stateside also had an enormous yard. And they went out by pods. And then there was also a gym, and they went out by pods to that. So if you had yard one day, you would have gym the next, or if you had yard in the morning, you might have gym in the afternoon, depending on lockdown statuses and what things were required by the state at the time, etc., etc. So that's the basics of prisons.
You have been listening to the Prison Podcast by Dax and Lara at Notes from Xanadu, the Online Arts Centre.